Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. It's good to be saved, isn't it? And you know, it's sad for the family in the sense where they've lost a loved one, Sister Eiling and her auntie. But as her brother Gary said, it's so true that the wee woman's been promoted to glory. She's went to a far better place, and she's went to be with the Lord. And we just thank the Lord that she was a saved woman. And we just pray, have been praying, that the Lord bless the whole family. Remember this weekend's meetings, Brother Gary's going to be preaching here Sunday morning. And I'll be preaching in our dress on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. If you're free, come along. Our dress, full gospel meeting. This Saturday night. So pray for the services that the Lord will have us well. And I really appreciate the words of encouragement from our brother Laurie on Sunday night. Wasn't planned any of it, but it was really good, wasn't it? And we just thank the Lord, and we do pray the Lord will bless Brother Laurie. I want to just continue on maybe a wee bit from Sunday morning. Let us turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, and probably I do preach a lot from this, but we should never be apologizing for the Word of God, isn't that right? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, and it's good to have Brother Matthew back again, and don't forget as well, Matthew's uncle is Sammy's cousin. I said his brother, or his cousin, Jake, but they can't operate. He's bleeding in the brain, and word is they can't operate. And he needs a real touch from the Lord. But God can touch him. God can do it, and we believe God can do it. So we want to keep praying for Brother Jake, and keep Carl's mom in prayer as well. And don't forget as well, Timothy's getting married in about 45 days' time. Timothy, so pray for Timothy and his bride-to-be that all the Lord will bless everything, and it's great news, praise God. Let's read verse 25 of Hebrews 9. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I want to just talk a bit about and putting away sin. Let's just pray again tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord this evening and praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Just remember as well of Sister Lynn as well. And Edward, Sister Lynn, that the Lord will really touch her as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the name that's far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that just the mention of your name, the desert blooms and the flowers grow again. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that name that's above every other name, both in heaven and on earth, and that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we reverence and we adore that lovely name, the name of Jesus, tonight. We pronounce it in this house, and we pronounce it over this service, and we pronounce it over all that's near and dear to us, the name of Jesus Christ. And we plead the precious blood of the Lamb of God over all in this house, all that's near to us, all that's dear to us, save all that's near to us, we pray, our children and relations, in Jesus' precious name. Father, we lift before you Big Jake tonight, and Lord, we rebuke the devil over his life. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity, and we pray you'll touch him and you'll cause the bleeding to stop and he'll get well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask for Sister Lynn as well. You touch her, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, and for Carl's mother, Lord, Rita, that you'll touch her as well, in Jesus' precious name, and for the hands raised, that you'll meet every need. In Jesus' precious name tonight, we ask it. Father, we pray for Timothy and his bride to be. You bless them. Lord, that you'll meet their every need, that you'll be with them in a very special way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, bless your word to their hearts tonight. Bless the services that lay ahead Saturday night and Sunday, Lord. We pray, and we do ask you for Brother Larry tonight. Bless him, strengthen him, and be with them. And others that's not here, be with them. Bless them and strengthen them. We think of the mothers maybe had to work. And Lord, whatever they are tonight, just bless them and be with them. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, we pray for your help for the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you that you do undertake for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you tonight. You know, I was really considering about getting into the history of all the different churches where they knew who the Pope was. But then I thought maybe Mark might do that the next time, so I left that, praise God. But I just feel to go on a little bit in this, you know, and this is the great teaching of the book of Hebrews. It's the heart of it, really. Under the first covenant, sin was covered. But under this new covenant, it's not covered. It's taken away. And you know, the best that the Israelite had under the first covenant was the blood covering atonement. And the word atonement means to cover. That's what atonement means. And you know, under that covenant, the sins were covered. They were put away. They were remitted. And we know today that under the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are as though they never were. They're taken away, they're washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 31, and I want to just read a couple of scriptures to do with this. Jeremiah 31, verse 33 to 34. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." And I tell you, that's what gives us the victory when we go to pray. That's what gives us the victory over a person that's not saved. A man or a woman that's not saved is dead. The Bible says they're dead in sins and trespasses. But we're not dead because he says, "You hath he quickened." That means made alive. And our sins are gone. The sins of our youth are gone. You know, William Branham, you know, he had the gift where he could discern the secrets of the heart and he could tell people things. But he made a powerful statement. He said, "God cannot even show his prophets what's under the blood. When it's washed away in the blood of Jesus, nobody can bring it up because it's gone." It's gone. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. It's gone. Colossians 2:14 says this, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." That sins is gone. Now, you know, this speaks of the death warrant. And every one of us was under the death warrant. And it was rightfully issued because we've all sinned. And we've all transgressed God's law, every one of us. And if we were to go through tonight, and some people use it on the street witnessing, and it's a good way to witness. And you say to somebody, "Well, I've never done anything wrong." And then you say to me, "Have you ever told a lie?" Well, maybe I haven't. It could be somebody maybe never tell a lie. Have you ever committed adultery? And there's a whole list. And everybody's failed somewhere. And maybe some's failed in more than one. So every man's guilty. Every single man and every single woman's guilty. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 3 and 4 says this, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law." So all of us, we did transgress the law. We were guilty. Jesus even said, "He that looketh upon a woman have already committed adultery in its heart, even if he doesn't physically sleep with her." So he's an adulterer. So everybody's broke the law somewhere. We're told it, you used to hear it's only a wee white lie. Well, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's still a lie. And you know, I used to tell plenty of lies and other things as well, but the Lord forgive me. I remember one time my mum coming down to the police station and the policeman says, well, we know you done it. And my mum says, go on, tell them, Tommy, you done it. And I says, I never done it. And there I sat, told a lie. So there's no way I would ever get up and say I never told a lie, or I never did this and I never did that. I broke most of the commandments. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All sin. And all manner of sin. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now let me read you our opening scripture again, just slightly, you know, in different words. Nor did he enter into the heavenly sanctuary to offer himself regularly again and again. He didn't do it regularly again and again as the high priest entered the Holy of Holies every year with the blood of which blood, not his own. So the natural priest, and I mentioned on Sunday, he couldn't go in until he first offered. But Jesus Christ had no sin of his own to offer for. So all the offering that Jesus Christ did was for me and you. Because he was a sinless, spotless, blameless Lamb of God. For then would he have often have suffered over and over since the foundation of the world. But it is now, he has once at the consummation, at the close of the ages, appeared to put away, abolish sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that's in keeping the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And the fullness of time means at the right time. You see, the Old Testament closed out and we came into the New Covenant, the New Testament. And then, you know, when we come into that New Testament, then we come through seven church ages as well. Remember that? God's in seven. We come through seven church ages and we're in the last church age. Brothers and sisters, the book's ready to be closed on the whole thing. And God's going to turn again to Israel. And we're promised at the end of the Gentile dispensation a message, according to Malachi 4, 5 and 6, and the spirit of Elijah that turns our heart back to the original apostolic message. And we know that the revelation the church began on is the same revelation she's to finish on. And when the church began, they preached Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore every one of you for the remission of sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Ghost. Now we know that doesn't mean just a gift of speaking in tongues. It means eternal life. The gift of the Holy Spirit, eternal life. How many knows that tonight? It's eternal life. And the early church preached it. And we're to preach it. We do preach it. And thank the Lord. And there's more with it. It's the gospel message. You know, Philip preached Christ, didn't he? He preached Christ unto them. Now, you know the expression, end of the ages, means where the two ages met. The cross was where the old method of counting ended, and it was a place where the new time began. The thing that stood between man and God was Adam's transgression. That's the thing that stood between man and God, man's transgression. At Calvary, God, the new time, if you like, come in, the new age, the new dispensation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ knew no sin. Somebody said, did God really leave Jesus on the cross? Absolutely. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ took it all on himself for me and you. He was absolutely obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the Bible. And God raised him from the dead on the third day. And here it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Now, it doesn't say he made him a sinner, but he made him to be sin, because all our guilt, all our shame was placed on him. And the very moment we believe and trust and get washed in the blood, we're forgiven. And all that we were guilty of, he carried it to the cross. And he dealt with it. And he paid the price for it. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's all in him. Without him, we can't have it. Jesus settled the sin problem. Made it possible for God to legally remit all that we have ever done. Jesus made it possible that God could legally remit our sins because of Christ. He took our place and gave us eternal life and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 and 18 says, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, I believe today a lot of people's not really getting saved. Now, I'm not saying there's not people getting saved. There is people getting saved. But you see, people, and they don't seem to have it, and they don't seem to want to do serve the Lord, there's something wrong. Because when you get saved and I get saved, we wanted to serve the Lord. There was a change. And the Bible says here, there's a change. The Bible says, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You're born again. You're a new creature. You won't want to do the things you've done before. And if you have problems, you'll pray to the Lord and he'll deliver you from them. And it's God that gives you the desire for the deliverance. Now, I'm not saying, you know, there's people can be different. You could have a man and God can deliver him from everything the first night he prays. You could have another man and he could struggle. But if that man's genuine, God will deliver him from whatever his problem is. There's no question about it. That's absolutely the truth. I believe that tonight. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And you know, we have people in government today, and they talk about reconciliation. They can't do it. Without the gospel, there's no reconciliation. Because it's only through the message of the gospel there's repentance preached and forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And that brings real reconciliation. With outside of that, it's not real reconciliation. It's a man-made effort, and a man-made effort will fail. Cain had a man-made effort. God never accepted it. Abel brought the blood, and God said, I'll accept it. The one sacrifice, the changing of the covenant, and the change in their priesthood, you know, it left Israel almost homeless. It was some shock for them. You think of the earthly priest, and he's in the tabernacle, and he's standing there just in front of the veil, and there's the veil, the big curtain. Just think of a big curtain. Here's a curtain tonight, and think of this curtain's drawn, and you're here, and think when Christ cried on the cross, it's finished. The Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That was God showing, if you're going to rip a cloth, you rip it the weakest way. But that was the hardest way. And God tore it in two. He tore it in two. And you think of the priest in there, and it was torn in two in front of him. I'll guarantee you he was in shock. And you know, at the cross, there was a lot of soldiers could save. And there was a lot of Jews could save as well at the cross. And God tore it in two because God was saying the way into the holiest of holy was made, a new and living way. And you know, we talk about the candlesticks and we talk about the light. No, but let's remember this, that the candlestick light's a temporal light. It's a temporal light. But when God tore that veil in two, you no longer needed a temporal light. The light of the Lord went right through it. Right to the holiest of holies, where the Shekinah glory was, where Aaron's rod bought it. And it was in that ark, and when they took the lid off, it came out and it bought it. A stick bloomed and blossomed and bought it. It was in no ground, no plant, no water, no soil, nothing, but it bought it. Because there was life in there. And I tell you, we were dead. That's the type for us, you know. We were dead. But when we come to Christ, we're budded, we're blossomed. Life came into us. And then we were born again in the Spirit of God. And we're budded. You see, to leave the gorgeous temple to the street preaching, to the cottage, you know, when it's some shock. And preaching in the Grove Cottage meeting, you know, It was staggering for them. From the glory from these big temples and the tabernacle. I think of Solomon's temple. I've said before I'd like to preach on it sometime, and I would still like to preach on Solomon's temple and go into it. But look, these things took a lot of time to study on them. You can't just get up on a whim and, you know, because you'll not know what you're talking about. But there's real depth in it, and it speaks of the Lord. And you know, the one sacrifice that Jesus Christ made of himself made an end to the slaughtering of the animals. Wasn't it wonderful? You know, when Brother Brian came round to the other hall at Tully Leash, and you remember he counted the sacrifices and the amount of blood, and it was able to fill so many lorry tankers with the blood on the slaughtering day on the Old Testament. And yet withal, from the blood of Jesus Christ was more powerful than all them tankers full of blood if you were to put it in a tanker. It was more powerful. It was more potent. You know, it's like a medicine. You ever get a medicine on where it's a tablet or a liquid and it says on it, just one. And you look at all the size of it and you think, well, that would be no good. Just one. But if you took more than that, it could kill you. It's deadly. And that means it's potent. That's what potent means. Potent means something that's really strong. And you know, if you dropped ink into bleach, the ink would just disappear. And the blood of Jesus is potent. And when your sins go into it, they're gone. It's potent. It destroys your sin because it's been paid for. And the blood of Christ, and I believe the blood of Christ is enough to atone for the whole world and another world if need be. And I believe that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I believe that God said, it's not my will that any should perish. Now I know that God knows everyone's going to come, but I'm never going to try and work it out. That's up to the Lord. You know, Ian Paisley made a statement, and I agree with it. And he said, I believe in election, and I believe in predestination. And he says, when they've all been elected and come in, he says, I'll pray God elect some more. But that's a good desire, isn't it? To pray God elect some more. Well, we have people today and they don't want no more elected. They want it all over, done and dusted. And they're all in now and there's no more coming. It's almost like they're crossed nearly if another one was to come. That's not the attitude of Christ. There's something else wrong there. If we're his bride, we have his desire. And the Lord's desire is that none should be lost. Paul even prayed. He says, pray that Israel's saved. He didn't want to see them lost. And we pray daily that our loved ones will be saved. But you see, the blood of Christ made an end of slaughtering animals and the carrying of the blood into the holies of holies. And it was the end of the covering. It was the taking away of sin. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. One sacrifice for sins forever. Now here's my point, and I want to stress this tonight. There's people that they don't believe Christ can save all. You would have to do away with this verse if you believe that. Because this verse says, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. The work was finished. Now we know God knows who's going to come. And we know not everybody's going to come. But I believe to say it's limited belittles it. That's what I believe. It belittles it. It's belittling it. And I tell you, I don't want to belittle anything God's done. I want to lift it up more. Amen. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So you see in Hebrews 10:12 and Hebrews 1:3, it's talking about him sitting down. And I often refer to it, when you finish your day's work and you come home, isn't it great to get sitting down? Especially if you've been on your feet all day. I tell you, if you've been on your feet for about 10 hours, you'll be glad to get sitting. And the Lord sat down because his work's done. And the fact that his work's done, no man can offer him again. He can never be reoffered. He's been offered once and for all. Once for all. The offering and the scapegoat. And you could read about the scapegoat in Leviticus 16, verse 1 to 22. And you could read about the scapegoat. And the scapegoat was, you know, they took a goat and they put their hands on it and they confessed their sins over it. And then they took it away out in the wilderness and they let it off. And that's how it got the name the scapegoat. And it carried their sins away. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ suffered without the camp. He was our scapegoat in that sense, that he carried our sins away. And they're no longer to be remembered against us no more. As far as the east is from the west. I'm not going to go and read all Leviticus tonight, for I want us to have time to pray. You know, this was the annual day of humiliation of for sins, you know, for the whole nation of Israel. And when the high priest made the atonement for the sanctuary, the priests and the people, the high priest laying aside his official ornaments, first offered a sin offering for himself and for the priesthood, entering into the holiest of holies with the blood. So he offered for himself and he offered for the priesthood, and then he offered for the people. He couldn't offer for them till he'd done that whole ritual first. But Jesus done it all for me and you. Notice here that Christ never ever had the first offer for himself, because he had no sin and he knew no sin. He afterward took two he-goats for the nation. One was slain for Jehovah. On the head of the other, sins of the people were typically laid, and was made the sin bearer for the nation. And laden with the guilt, it was sent away into the wilderness. You know, you could read in Mark 15, 38, on the veil of the temple was rent in twain, the top to the bottom. I've already mentioned it. Christ done it. This tells the death of Christ on the cross and the rending of the veil between the holy place and the holy of holies, where the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And Jesus' blood, you know, not only it closed down that old tabernacle in effect, but then when you read in Hebrews and you study it, I'm going to close. When you read in Hebrews and study it, it says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by these, so the heavenly with a better sacrifice. There's a heavenly tabernacle. And the blood of Jesus went the whole way to heaven. And I love the words of Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke said that Jesus plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Plundered hell that he might populate heaven. I tell you, it's not God's will that any go to hell. Somebody said, you know what? Did God make hell for man? The Bible says he didn't. The Bible says God never made hell for man. He made hell for the devil and his fallen angels. But the problem is the Christ rejecter will go there. You know, have you ever heard Morsarello's life story? Morsarello was adopted as a young man. He ran away and everything. And he had lots of experiences. But you know, as a young man, very young man, 14, 15, he had a tremendous experience. And he had like a vision or a catching up. And he was up, and the voice said to him, look down. And he looked down and he saw two footprints through like a cloud. And when he looked through the cloud, he says he saw right into hell. And he saw people suffering in hell. And then the voice said to him, step into them footprints. And when he stepped into the footprints, his feet matched the two footprints. And it blocked them. And God was showing him that he'd called them, that people would be saved, that they wouldn't go to hell. And you know, Morsarello was mightily used of God. Mightily used of God. And I know maybe in his latter life, there's a lot of that prosperity stuff and all that. But look, in that man's early days and through his life, he was anointed. Anointed of God and mightily used of God. And you know, I've told you before the story when my dad went to England many years ago. And he's in Morsarello's meetings. And you know, the real strange thing was, my dad told me about this. Then Lynn Jacobs told me about it. She was in the same meetings. And she saw the same thing. But Morris Riley came to the platform and he'd been fasting and praying in England. And the first thing he said, he says, I hear the Beatles is running about saying that God's dead. The Beatles. You know the Beatles? That let on they were singing, whatever that was they were doing. There wasn't much singing about it really, but the Beatles. What a name. Jack Cole Jr. used to say he hated cockroaches and beetles. He would squash them. He hated them. He wouldn't get out of bed if there was one on the floor. He hated them. But there was a man in that room and he had one leg shorter than the other and he brought him up to the front and he said he heard the beetles are dead and he put him in the chair and he got him to take his shoes off and he prayed in the name of Abraham, the God of Isaac, Abraham and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the man's leg just jumped out. And he jumped off the chair and he ran all round the place and they couldn't get him stopped. Isn't that amazing? Now think of this. At home, my dad had the message, the books of William Branham's sermons. And in one of them books he read where a woman got a prayer cloth and laid it on her son. A wall had fell on him or was the bulldozer accident. Bulldozer. Crushed his legs. And she laid it on him in the hospital and God healed him. So they're all round the table and there's a fellow there playing an accordion. He was from Finland and he was playing it. And my dad was telling him this story that he read in one of William Branham's sermons. And the fellow got up and he says, I'm the man. But the prayer cloth was laid on. Isn't that amazing? God completely healed him. That's the power of God. Now, when I was in Norway, and we're gonna pray. When I was in Norway, there's a brother said to me, he said, Tom, there's an old woman here, and I'd love you to meet her. She was in William Branham's meetings, which was 16. So I got to meet her, and we went back in the car, and she came up on the prayer line before William Branham. She was 16. She had had an operation. And they cut a piece out of her. And they cut the wrong piece out of her. They made a boob. And she still was very ill. And she come up before William Branham and he discerned her. And he told her name. Where she come from. And he said they did an operation on you and they cut a bit out of you. But they took the wrong bit out of you. But he says, of course the Lord's healed you now. You're healed. And she went to walk off the platform and he stopped her. And he said, just a minute, sister. And he says, the presence of the Lord will be with you in a very special way all the days of your life. And I'm telling you, this is honest truth. When she came in the meeting, they were different meetings. You can think what you want of it. You might think, what difference would it make? I don't know, but it happened. And that woman sat in the meeting and I preached in Norway. And in that service, there's an awful lot of people were healed. And I told the testimony when I was preaching in Wales. One of the services I preached in Wales for Brother Roger Caudry, when he was living, and his church is still going in Wales. It's quite a good size of a church, maybe 60, 70 people at least, maybe more. When it was convention, maybe up to 100. You know, when I got at the end of preaching, the Holy Spirit said to me, there's a man, there's somebody with a bad shoulder. But if they put their arm up, I'm going to heal them. So I said, I believe the Lord's told me, the Holy Spirit, that somebody in the meeting, you're suffering with a bad shoulder, but if you stand on your feet and put your arm straight up there, you're going to be healed. And a big man stood up. He was one of the deacons or elders in Roger's church, as a matter of fact. God healed him on the spot. And I'll tell you about that the next time I went, the Lord healed his daughter as well. God completely healed him. But I was telling that testimony in Norway, and those people got healed. And when I was coming out, the church was over and shaking hands with people going out, and there's a queue of people coming out, and there's one woman just burst out and started crying, coming out. And she said, Brother Tom, I've been everywhere, and all of these fellas at work and fix you, and doctors and everything with a shoulder, and it's never been right. And she said, when you told that testimony, about that man, and he put his arm up, I put mine up, and I got healed straight away. God healed her. God is real. See, someone can become very familiar to us. We don't think of it, but never let the Lord's power become familiar to you. Always believe there's power in the name of Jesus. Let's come and pray tonight. Let's believe tonight. Lift Big Jake up before the Lord. Remember these meetings as well at the weekend, that the Lord will have his way. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you'll fill us, everyone, afresh with the Holy Ghost. Let your presence come into this room. Let your presence come into our homes. Let us know the power of God in our lives afresh. In Jesus' precious name. Touch everyone in this house tonight, and any that would hear this message, bless them and touch them and heal them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come against backaches, headaches, shoulder aches and all sorts of aches. And I pray you'll heal each one in the name of Jesus Christ. You sent your word and healed them. And by your wounds, your stripes, we were healed. We thank you tonight for the provision of the blood. We thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. And we thank you that it's by your wounds, your stripes, we are healed. Lord, we bless you for what you've done for us. And we pray for all the services that lie ahead, for Brother Gary, for Sunday. Will you bless him, grant him wisdom, guidance, and fill him with the Holy Spirit. And bless your people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Lord, for all that's been mentioned tonight, bless and touch. Save every one of our children, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, husbands and wives. Move on them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, bless each one. For all the widows, bless and strengthen. Strengthen our sister Eileen Jones tonight. Touch her, Lord, and all the family circle. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your word to our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.